Brian Ferry and Don't Stop the Dance, and David Bowie with Heroes as we approach the anniversary of his death on January the 10th. 17 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. The local reports in recent days has emerged that scores of British nationals living in EU countries have wrongly had their passports stamped for the date of entry when returning home. British nationals coming to the EU have previously not needed to have their passports stamped, but Brexit and the end of the freedom of movement has changed things somewhat. But while visitors are now subject to the Schengen area's 90-day rule, meaning they can spend a maximum of 90 days out of every 180 in the Schengen area, those Britons living in the EU are not, and therefore should not have their passports stamped. But reports have emerged in recent days that scores of Britons returning from a Christmas break in the UK have had a date stamped into their passport by border officials in EU countries. There are reports that French border officials are routinely stamping all passports, and the locals being contacted by Britons returning to Sweden, Germany and other EU countries have also had an entry date stamped in their passports. Calvin Meadows from the France Rights Group told the local over the weekend in France, for example, it seems all entry points were stamping passports, the same in many other EU countries. And Meadows' group is part of the British in Europe, said she'd asked the EU Commission for answers. The main issue is that a passport stamp means, in theory at least, that the person has entered the Schengen area as a visitor, not as a resident, thus setting off the 90-day clock. But the British Embassy in France has tried to reassure UK residents in France. In a Facebook post they wrote, "Your rights in France will not be affected if your passport is incorrectly or unnecessarily stamped. It's also not your, it will not affect your ability to apply for a withdrawal agreement residency permit as long as you can demonstrate you were settled in France by the 31st of December. Officials said if you can't show you're already resident in France, you may be asked additional questions at the border to enter the Schengen area and your passport may be stamped. You will be able to show evidence you live in France the next time you cross the border." And the embassy is liaising with the French authorities on how these rules are being applied at the French border. It's likely the stamping of passports can be put down to teething problems as the EU countries become accustomed to Brexit. But while those British people who've had their passports stamped are told not to worry, it wouldn't be a surprise if some do have issues when crossing Schengen borders in future. All that to look forward to, eh? If you do go away, make sure you take your carte de séjour, your receipt for your new carte de séjour with you wherever you go. Have you had your summons to the prefecture
yet? I haven't heard anything, no.
No, neither have I. Lots of people have, though, and they're getting conflicting messages. Some are told to go down and post their old carte de séjour through the letterbox in the prefecture. Others are told to go down with their passport photos and all sorts of other things. It's just, it's...
Well, I downloaded my old carte de séjour, so I would have thought, yeah, they'd have that. I guess the passport photos is to make the new card.
Yeah, but some people have been told just to post their old carte de séjour in the letterbox because they've already got photos and they had their fingerprints done. So I've already had my fingerprints taken more than once. But you've got the receipt, though, haven't you?
I've got the internet, the email confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's got a number on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing. If you're asked to prove your residence in France and you haven't got your new carte de séjour, just show them that, and it should shut them up. Full English Breakfast Show. Which year are we going back to today?
1978 is the year. It was on this day in 1978 that the Sex Pistols started their final tour in Atlanta, Georgia. On June the 8th, 1978, in the UK, Naomi James became the first woman to sail around the world single-handedly. And in 1978, Anna Ford becomes the first female newsreader on ITN. But in 1978, which German-based disco group achieved the best-selling single in the UK?
German-based disco group. Don't know. Should do. Kraftwerk?
No, it was
not really disco.
Boney M. Boney M. And the song. Can you give me the song? Half a point.
Mar Baker.
Rivers of Babylon.
Okay.
Question number two. The 1978 Brit Awards seems to have taken place on the 11th of April 1979 at the Café Royal in London. I don't know why. Kate Bush won Best Female Vocalist. Who won Best Group?
1978.
I'll give you a clue. Not only did they write their own music, they also wrote for many other artists, including Islands in the Stream for Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. Correct. And they were at number one on this day in 1978 with which track?
Staying Alive.
No, it was How Deep Is Your Love. OK, we won't do 1978 again. Well, so we'll do another year.
That's only two questions.
No, three. You had the German-based disco group for the Brit Awards.
Oh, yeah.
And the number one.
Oh, that was the third question, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the Bee Gees were at number one on this day with How Deep Is Your Love.
Well, when you said 1978, I thought, oh, here we go, I'm going to get a hat-trick here. Because it's my, you know, my era in it, but, yeah.
What were you doing in 1978?
What was I doing in 1978? I was still at school. Mm. I was in the fourth form.
Behaving yourself?
Not really. Playing a lot of rugby. Remember that.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lockdown. Lockdown.
Yeah, it's a difficult time, of course, for the UK, as is for many other countries around the world. Perhaps no surprise, actually, when you look at the numbers. If you look at the number of new cases in the past 24 hours, just under 59,000. That's an increase of more than 50% on the seven-day average. There were 407 deaths in the past 24 hours. That's up by a fifth in the past 7 days. If you look at the numbers of people in hospital, I think it was at 26,600, something around that sort of number. That's a rise of more than 30% on the previous week. Gives you an idea of where we are, and it's 40% above the peak that we saw back in April. So perhaps no surprise that Boris Johnson yesterday, the UK government, announcing a significant stricter restrictions for the UK, stay at home except for essential shopping, exercise, or to seek medical help or care for someone vulnerable. Schools to close. Now, this is a bit of a difficult one for me because Henry, who's six, cannot go to school. Amelia, who's four, can go to school. So you have to make a little bit of a decision about that, I suppose. But it's going to be a difficult few weeks. There's no doubt about that. But of course, our problems are much less than those who've had someone who's obviously been infected by it, or has lost someone because of it, or is struggling with an abusive relationship, or all those types of other things. So you think yourself lucky in many ways. So let's focus on that.
Yeah, we do, of course, feel for everybody who is suffering, but it doesn't really affect you because you haven't been out for months anyway, have you?
I haven't been out for months. Well, it certainly feels like that. I was thinking you come to the middle of March, which is not that far away, and it would have been a year working from home, which is quite incredible when you think you sort of left the office thinking, okay, 4, maybe 6 weeks and we'll be back into it, but it's been certainly longer than that.
Yeah, you know, apart from the fact you won't be able to get alcohol takeaways, which might affect you a little bit. You know, you have to get down the cash and carry and stock up on Blue Nun before it's too late.
I think that is South Africa where they've banned alcohol. I mean, that would cause absolute mayhem, to be honest, in the UK. I couldn't even imagine what that would do to spirits here. So, we wait to see how it all plays out. But it's, as I say, a difficult few weeks. In some ways, you feel, I mean, you look at China. I mean, if we'd been really, really aggressive in terms of the measures, sort of November, December, one feels we probably would have been in better shape than we are today.
Yeah, also New Zealand, Australia and South Korea, they've all sort of done a lot better than the European countries have done on sort of curbing the virus.
Look at Melbourne, how aggressive they were in terms of its restrictions, and I think, you do see that sort of paying off. As always, of course, it's somewhat of a balance between understanding what it means to the economy, etc. as well.
Yeah, but it is a real hammer blow again to the economy, just as we were hoping that the vaccines were going to be widely distributed and we'd be getting back to some kind of normality. It ain't going to happen quickly.
That's what I mean, this on and off, on again, off again type scenario, I think has been incredibly disruptive. You only have to look at the schools. Primary schools went back for a single day yesterday. Schools spent a lot of time probably preparing the protocols around the new COVID protocols to get them in place, only to actually their efforts would have been much better sort of gearing themselves up for online learning over the course of the past few weeks. So it's been somewhat of a difficult process.
Yeah, well, I feel we're not far behind you. I mean, we're on a sort of a strict curfew at the moment from 6 p.m. until 6 a.m. the next morning. But cases are still rising rapidly in this part of the world. So, you know, I fear we're going to end up in a lockdown sooner rather than later.
But we do know that vaccine bright horizon is not too far away. So perhaps we should continue to focus on that and do our best to help the situation where we can.
Real money spinner for Big Pharma, isn't it, the vaccine?
some money. Whether it's going to be the real big money spinner is another question. Some pharmaceutical companies have decided to be perhaps a little bit more generous than others in terms of offering it at the cost price, for example, and the way in which it's distributed. So, yes, there will be more money flowing into pharmaceuticals. It's a sector of healthcare that's done well. And actually, I think even before COVID-19, we thought it was a sector that would do well for a range of reasons, demographic reasons, etc. So, yeah, certainly they will continue to do so. And inevitably, there'll be more investment, I think, into medical provision in the future.
Yeah, I'm not just talking about this year. I'm talking about in future years, because it does appear likely we're going to need a vaccine every year. And with the virus mutating, the vaccine's going to have to be tweaked as well. So that's sort of even more money, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's increased costs for economies and for businesses. But we should be thankful that science is able to come up with a solution to the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. OK, let's have a look at the markets. Pretty good day on the European bourses yesterday. Not so good on Wall Street.
Yeah, somewhat of a mixed performance. European, UK stocks advanced, helped by optimism over the vaccine rollout, M&A activity, and economic data actually showed euro area manufacturing grew its fastest pace in more than 2.5 years in December. Although stocks traded off the session highs, stock 600 closed up 0.7%. FTSE 100 closed up 1.7%. Remember, it's a really poor performer during the course of last year, but it was up 3.1% during the course of the day, so well off the session highs there. On Wall Street, moods certainly was more pessimistic. Virus, as we know, has been spiking. A little bit of nervousness ahead of the Georgia Senate runoff election as well. S&P 500, NASDAQ was down 1.5%. Should filter through to a weaker start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE down 14 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 42 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 18 points.
Yeah, there's a lot riding on these Georgia runoffs. I mean, the latest polling I've seen puts the Democrats ahead, but it's far from established what's actually going to happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This Senate runoff election is because candidates failed to achieve the required 50% majority in the November election. The result will determine the balance of power in the Senate and will directly impact President Biden's ability to implement his domestic agenda, cabinet appointments, and Supreme Court nominations. To remind you, Republicans have controlled the Senate since 2014. Republicans currently have 50 of the 100 seats. If Democrats were to take the remaining two seats, it would be a tie, and the Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris would have the casting vote. Who's going to win? As you say, difficult to call at this stage. A Democrat has not won a Senate seat in Georgia since 2000, but Biden won the state for the Democrats in November for the first time in almost 30 years. Polling data suggests both seats are incredibly tight. Very difficult, actually, to factor in, I suppose, the election hangover effect and what that means for voters there. We may not, of course, know the winner of that election today. It may take a few days for those votes to be counted.
Recount.
And the lawyers will be doing very well once again, one would suspect.
Yeah, but even if the Democrats do win both those Senate seats and obtain a very slim majority with Vice President Kamala Harris having the deciding vote, it doesn't clear the way for Joe Biden's legislation, because you need a kind of supermajority in the Senate to get stuff through, don't you?
Well, they would have, of course, the House of Representatives as well. So it would put them in a relatively strong position. That doesn't mean, of course, that they'll be able to push through whatever they like. You have some of the more moderates in there looking to try and balance things out. So I don't think it would be an easier ride, but it'd certainly make it much, much easier than if you would see a Republicans having a significant control of the Senate.
OK, and quickly, a massive merger in the automotive industry.
Yeah, this is between Fiat Chrysler and PSA, which is, of course, Peugeot Citroën, moving towards getting the deal done that's been more than 2 years in the making. PSA and Fiat Chrysler's shareholders have approved a merger that will form this Stellantis, I think it's called, the world's fourth largest automaker. Scale has been increasingly important in the global car industry as manufacturers meet the challenges of electrification, automation, and, of course, intense competition. By pooling product development along with manufacturing and purchasing, the merger is forecast to generate €5 billion of synergies. If you look at the outlook for the company, Fiat PSA deal, they'll be strong in terms of trucks and SUVs. You've got Ram and the Jeep divisions of Fiat Chrysler there. Peugeot Citroën strong in Europe, but limited exposure to the luxury market or indeed to China, which is the world's largest car market.
Okay, foreign exchanges pound under pressure again.
has been coming under a little bit of pressure, back to 1.36 against the dollar. Euro dollar coming in at 1.22.5. Going to get just under 1 euro 11 cents for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Enjoy looking after the kids.
Thank you very much. Homeschooling, here we come.
Hank Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
It's been decided that bars and restaurants in France will not reopen on January the 20th. It's not yet official, but the decision has been taken following a meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron, the government, on Monday. This afternoon, unions are to meet with the head of state, requesting a new date and a clear plan for the future of bars and restaurants in France. In other news, after several rainy days in the Alpes-Maritimes, tons of wood from the valleys have washed up on the beaches of Saint-Laurent-du-Var. However, local officials are not so concerned about the wood, but by other waste, such as plastic bottles, cans and household waste. A clean-up campaign will be carried out once the local police have checked the area for any dangerous waste, such as bottles of gas. Meteo France has issued yellow warnings for icy conditions and avalanches in the Alpes-Maritimes until 4 p.m. today. There's a yellow warning for icy conditions in the Var until midday. Meanwhile, Vinci Autoroutes are reminding motorists using some of the motorways in the southeast of France to take extra care because of snow. Snow has already been falling in parts of the Var on Monday. A case of the British variant of COVID-19 has been identified in Corsica. The person affected had returned from London and is currently self-isolating at home. Corsica tests all passengers without a negative COVID test when they landed in Ajaccio, which made it possible for the regional health authorities to identify the case. From December the 19th to January the 8th, out of the 58,000 checks carried out, 750 were not able to provide a negative test and were therefore tested on arrival. 39 passengers did attempt to avoid being tested and were fined. The first case of the variant was identified in France on December the 25th in Tours, when a Frenchman returned from London a few days earlier. French health authorities have stepped up on the coronavirus vaccination campaign after critics on Monday attacked Emmanuel Macron's government for lagging embarrassingly behind its European neighbours. Macron was reported to be furious over the number of people in France who had received their jab compared with figures from Germany and the UK. The head of state called a meeting with top advisers, as well as Health Minister Olivier Véran and the Prime Minister Jean Castex on Monday to thrash out a new presentation of the vaccination project. The meeting resulted in health workers aged 50 and over receiving their jabs from Monday, despite the initial plan to start vaccinating them from February. More than 65,000 people have died from COVID-19 in France since January 2020. On Monday, 12,000 new cases were registered. Meanwhile, the president of the Hauts-de-France region, Xavier Bertrand, deplores an extremely serious error by the French government and proposes in his region to open vaccination centres in high schools or public spaces well before the official date of February, or to move from written consent to oral consent. On Monday morning, 516 people had been vaccinated in France, compared to over 265,000 in Germany and nearly 119,000 in Italy. Finally, the British Embassy in Paris has published online a bumper edition of the Voisin Voices newsletter with information about the newly negotiated end of transition and what it means for you. For the link, go to the newsletter. You can go to rivieraradio.mc under this morning's news section.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Football. There was one game in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Former Liverpool striker Danny Ings scored a sensational goal as Southampton beat the Premier League leaders 1-0 at St Mary's. The England striker got on to the end of a James Ward-Prowse free kick with just 2 minutes on the clock before lifting the ball over Reds goalkeeper Alisson to register his 8th Premier League goal of the season. Former England international Karen Carney co-commentated on the game for the BBC.
I think the first half, Southampton were the better team in possession. Obviously, they got the early goal. They were bright, they were energetic. Danny Ings' lob was excellent, and I don't think Liverpool really got going, and you saw that from Jurgen Klopp. He was shouting at his players, he was agitated. You're going at half-time 1-0, second half come out, Liverpool are the dominant team. We heard the stat, 75% possession, but they didn't really do anything with it.
The EFL has agreed to increase the number of substitutes in this season's League Cup semi-finals and final. The four remaining teams can name 9 subs and use 5. One of those teams is Tottenham, who face Brentford on Tuesday. Jose Mourinho is trying to end Tottenham's 12-year wait for a trophy.
Every competition is important. That's my way of looking at things, especially in a club without silverware for more than one decade. Every competition becomes even more important. If we win 2 matches, we win a trophy.
Uruguay's Players Union has called on the English Football Association to overturn Manchester United striker Edinson Cavani's 3-match ban, which they say is discriminatory against him and Uruguayan people. The Manchester United striker was fined $137,000 and banned for a social media post containing a Spanish word that is offensive in some contexts. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Was a good goal, though.
It was.
Never mind. Yes, as the BBC was saying, the first semi-final of the English League Cup being played tonight, Spurs against Brentford, kick-off 8:45 French time. And elite sport not being affected by the lockdown in England?
No.
Unlike the first time when it was. Has anything changed? Formula One, the season-opening Australian Grand Prix, is facing postponements after growing concerns about COVID-19 and strict travel restrictions in force under a series of restrictions put in place by the Australian government. All Formula One personnel would be required to spend 14 days in quarantine on their arrival in the country. Reports say the season opener will be shifted to Bahrain on the 28th of March, with the Australian Grand Prix postponed until a later date. Cricket. England's tour of Sri Lanka has been thrown into doubt after all-rounder Moeen Ali tested positive for coronavirus. The 33-year-old, who tested negative before departure, will now have to self-isolate for 100 days under Sri Lanka's coronavirus protocols. Bowler Chris Wokes has been deemed as a close contact and will now have to isolate pending further tests. The first test is due to start on January the 14th, and the rest of the England squad will be tested again today. South Africa are in control, heading into day 3 of the second test against Sri Lanka in Johannesburg. The home side were bowled out for 302 in their first innings, with Sri Lanka on 150 for 4 in their second innings at stumps. That's a lead of just 5 runs, with 6 second innings wickets intact and 2 days to go. New Zealand are heading for victory at the end of day 3 of the second test against Pakistan in Christchurch. The home side declared their first innings on a massive 659 for 6, leading by 362 with 2 days to play. Tennis, Novak Djokovic and Rafa Nadal will head to the field at next month's ATP Cup, with the field reduced to 12 nations because of the coronavirus pandemic. Djokovic will lead Serbia in the tournaments in Melbourne, while Nadal will represent Spain. Serbia beat Spain in last year's final. And in boxing, Tyson Fury has said that Anthony Joshua has a confidence problem and that he will beat him within 2 rounds. Speaking to Fox Miami, Fury said that Joshua is not in form based on his last 2 fights and the momentum is with him. Joshua said he wants to take Fury's head off his shoulders. A fight between the two men, who hold all 4 heavyweight titles between them, is currently being negotiated by their respective teams. That's something to look forward to then, provided neither one of them comes down with the coronavirus. Here's the marine forecast. For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almara Sea and the VAR. The general situation is a depression, 1,003 millibars over the Tyrrhenian Sea. Our winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,006 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,005 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, showery, force 3 to 5 westerly winds, slight to moderate seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
It's better today, but not terribly warm. I've lost the weather forecast now. What have I done with that? Here we go. Partially cloudy, lights to moderate westerly winds, top temperature 8 degrees. Overnight lows 4 degrees on the coast, minus 1 degree inland with some frost in places and partially cloudy skies. Wednesday and Thursday mainly fine, highs of 8 to 10 degrees. Finally.
Finally. Back about the monopoly. You didn't have a game at Christmas, I know.
Monopoly, the game. Monopoly.
It's a favourite game for many, with the board and pieces kept in a battered box. But one Monopoly devotee has gone much further by paying £150,000 for 3,029 sets to amass the world's biggest collection. Neil Scallon's efforts are astonishing, especially as he does not even like playing the board game and never opens the boards that he buys. The export manager from West Sussex started his hobby in 2005 after buying a local edition as a souvenir in New Zealand. He then bought different editions each time he went away. And don't forget, there is of course the new longest Monopoly game, which has added 38 properties to the board. You're allowed to auction and you can pick up money from free parking.
It goes on long enough anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah, they brought a new one out.
But there's a Monaco Monopoly set, isn't there?
There is.
There is, yeah. And Monopoly World is a lot shorter.
Yeah, and you can make your own one. You can do your personalised one.
Yeah. Well, I could do one about Jean Lupin.
You could.
Could do.
Yeah.